At the top of our program today, since the launch of Obamacare, close to 300,000 Michigan residents have enrolled in health insurance plans offered through the state exchange. Many of them are now watching the U.S. Supreme Court closely. A decision in the case King v. Burwell is due any day now. It will determine whether federal subsidies, which help pay premiums for about three-quarters of those Michigan participants, will continue or end. Michigan and 33 other states whose health care exchanges were set up by the federal government could be affected. The discussion has begun to turn to what if. What exactly would Michigan do if the federal subsidies ended? For their thoughts, we turn to two mid-Michigan members of the state Senate, both of whom serve on that body's health policy committee, Republican Rick Jones of Grand Ledge and Democrat Curtis Hertel Jr. of Meridian Township. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. How much discussion is this getting on your committee, Senator Jones?
Really none up until this date. I think everybody's waiting to see what happens. And really anything we do right now would be hypothetical because the Supreme Court may very well just say the system is totally legal and it will continue.
That is true. Assuming the end of the subsidies is premature, it may not happen. But I'm led to believe if it were to turn out that way, I'm led to believe we have very few options if the Supreme Court finds for the plaintiffs here and not for the Obama administration. Is that your understanding, Curtis Hertel?
Well, I think we have options. I think that, first of all, we should have a state exchange already. The reality is that we've let a federal government solution be the answer. I think we could have had a Michigan solution that would have worked better for Michigan people. And would have been beneficial to the state, and the governor agreed with me. And so did many members on both sides of the aisle. Unfortunately, we never had the political will to get that done because people were afraid of being attached to Obamacare. If the subsidies do go away, there is a huge risk out there to individuals. Just to talk about what would happen if King versus Burwell, we lost the subsidies. 228,000 Michigan residents received subsidies under the program. That brings over $62 million a month here into the state of Michigan for premium assistance. The average persons who gets the premium, insurance rates would go up 294%.
It's a couple hundred dollars a month, I believe, is the average subsidy.
Yeah, so
200 some dollars.
$273 is the average subsidy. So it would go up 294%. And those that are on the exchange, the 3 million people that you talked about who are on the exchange, 30% would be their premium increase, which has been estimated, because of taking these people out of the system. So we're talking about working class people. I mean, we're talking about people making somewhere between $25,000 and $100,000 a year that would lose access to their health insurance if the decision was made and Michigan decided to do nothing. I think we should act now, but failure to act if this does happen, I think, is criminal.
Senator Jim Marlowe recommended last week in an MLive story that Governor Snyder go ahead and create the state exchange. Is that on your radar, Senator Jones? What do you think?
I haven't had any private conversations with the governor, but I expect if it did happen, the governor would put out an executive order, and then many civil servants in both Curtis and my district could go to work, and I'm told by them, I actually went on and asked them, they said we could do it in 45 days.
Mm. Is that something you could support, the creation of a state exchange?
I did vote for it the first time, but if the governor goes out with an executive decision, there wouldn't need to be any Senate action.
Well, there would need to be Senate funding. So the exchange does cost money. And so we'd have to actually provide a supplemental budget at some point. But I do think the governor, I agree with the senator that the governor could create the exchange. But I still think we need a funding source.
I spoke late last week with Rick Murdoch, head of the Michigan Association of Health Plans, who pointed out that even if the governor ordered the creation of a state exchange, you and the legislature would be involved, just as you point out, Senator Hertel. Let me play a little bit of that and get your response. Here's Rick Murdoch.
If there's an executive order, in other words, the governor decides we're going to make this happen administratively, that's still a state administrative action. That still has to be supported by state appropriations. And even if it's 100% federal funds, those dollars still have to be appropriated by the legislature. So while on the one hand we may say the governor can take action, ultimately the legislature has to be involved.
And that could create some tension.
It has proven in the past, and you know, this is a very adversarial issue for a lot of different reasons, and has been during the duration of this statute. So I don't see that leaving over the next day or two.
So he sees that as potentially hanging this up. Would that be a concern of yours, Senator Jones?
Well, everything is a concern. I think there may be some senators that come forward with other ideas. Bruce Caswell of last term had an excellent idea. You know, I think you need to have what's known as skin in the game. You need to be putting some money into your plan, even if it's a very small amount. You know, adding even just a dollar, you know, to the copayment, for example. That sort of thing gets people to take their system very seriously. And again, it gives them skin in the game, and I think that's what we need to look at.
Senator Rick Jones, Senator Curtis Hertel Jr. joining me here today on WKAR's Current State. And let's be clear, some number of your conservative colleagues say a ruling against the administration and against the Affordable Care Act would be the best thing for Michigan and for the country. I'm thinking mostly of Senator Colbeck here when I say that. Senator Jones, you voted for the state exchange.
I did. The first vote, I voted yes.
Yeah. Curtis Hertel, what do you make of options here?
Well, I'd say this. First of all, these people do have skin in the game, and I have an enormous amount of respect for Senator Jones and Senator Caswell. But these are all people that are paying premiums now. They're getting premium assistance, but 80% of them are employed, 70% of them are high school graduates, 82% of them are not working poor, and they're all paying some portion of their costs on the exchange. The Medicaid system, when we expanded it, we asked a lot of people to put skin in the game, and I think we had a good compromise on Medicaid expansion. I think we did it in the right way. In terms of the current climate of the legislature, I'm very worried about what would happen if we had to all of a sudden institute a state exchange. We already have people talking about trying to repeal Medicaid expansion, trying to defund Medicaid expansion. I've seen Senator Colbeck speak on the floor three times now talking about how great it would be for Michigan if these people lost their subsidies and King versus Burwell was decided in the conservative fashion. And this was actually King versus Burwell. It was created by a conservative think tank group, actually recruiting four people who barely actually are affected by Obamacare to file the actual lawsuit. So trying to use a very small point in law to try to undo the entire exchange program throughout all these states, the 34 states that haven't done a state exchange. So this is, by design, conservatives trying to actually to undo this law. So I think it would be great if we get quick action, and I appreciate the senator's vote for a state exchange in the past. But let's be clear, this lawsuit was designed specifically to do what it's doing and dismantle the program here in Michigan and in the 34 other states that don't have a state exchange.
Senator Jones, you referred to an idea by Senator Caswell, but getting back to Senator Colbeck's idea, he resists strongly the establishment of a state exchange, and he is a champion of what's called direct primary care. This is described as a subscription-like service that allows customers to pay a monthly rate for specific services, this as an alternative to Obamacare. And MLive pointed out last week that Henry Ford West Bloomfield Hospital reportedly signed the state's first direct primary care provider deal in recent weeks. Does that strike you as a viable way forward?
I haven't studied this yet. Certainly willing to look at it. Everything is on the table to decide how can we best have services for people that are lower income.
What we've been talking about is hardly the only issue related to health insurance for Michiganders. 16 Michigan health insurers recently asked state insurance regulators for permission to increase premiums on the health exchanges, not in employer-sponsored plans, as I understand it, but on the health exchanges. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, 11.3% increase request. Blue Care Network of Michigan, 9.7%. These are for next year. And apparently this is a result of too few people getting coverage, so they're having to up the premiums here in order to compensate for that. Any response to that, to these requests for premium increases?
Well, I think we have to have concerns about insurance being unaffordable. I mean, under the reality is that the Affordable Care Act has actually helped us move in the right direction. 18% of the people in the country were uninsured before it, and we're down to 13% now, and that's after just the first year of full implementation. So we're moving in the right direction, but I think the take-up rate has not been high enough, and I think that we can do better in Michigan by having a state-run exchange that actually markets to Michigan people instead of making them go to a federal website to worry about it.
While you're both here, I want to get your thoughts on the adoption measure signed into law by Governor Snyder on Thursday. You're on opposite sides of this one, I do believe. This gives adoption agencies the choice to opt out of working with same-sex or unmarried couples wanting to adopt on religious grounds. Senator Jones, a good move?
For over 50 years, faith-based adoption groups have assisted the state. Catholic services, Lutheran services, and many other smaller little ethnic groups, and there's no reason to make these go away. Why is there no reason? I sat through all the committee hearings, and it has been said that this is anti-LGTB. It's not. This is not anti-gay, not anti-lesbian. In fact, not one person or one couple came in and said, I have not been able to adopt. In fact, we had a great many come in and say, look at all the children we've adopted. So there is no problem in Michigan with gays and lesbians adopting. There is a problem with them adopting as a couple because marriage has not been legalized here in Michigan yet. There was a ballot initiative and people voted no. Perhaps that will be changed by the Supreme Court.
Senator Hertel, what do you think?
In reality, what we basically did was legalize discrimination. What we said was that using state dollars, an adoption agency can discriminate based on not just LGBT, but any moral reason. I'm Catholic. I'm divorced. I've adopted a child. The idea that somebody could say to me that my family wasn't qualified, that my family wasn't shouldn't be actually eligible, I think is bad. And beyond that, you know, I don't understand the church's position here. We are all sinners. We all have sins. And to decide which sins and which are not eligible to actually adopt a child, I think is being hypocritical on their part. And I am a Catholic, and I'm saying that.
I'm interested in where you want to respond here. Last word, Senator Jones.
Well, you know, this is an attack on the churches by the ACLU. The churches have First Amendment rights, too. And there has been, again, no problem. I saw numerous gays and lesbians come in and say, look at all the children we've adopted. I think in some places the ACLU is out of step with Michigan. In fact, this is the same ACLU that sued Michigan for the rights of sex offenders to go back in the schoolyard and won, so I'm going to have to go back and fix that law.
Well, you know, we could talk about the ACLU at all. It was the actual legislature that took action here, not the ACLU. And to be clear, the First Amendment, and I've read it several times, and I'm assuming you have as well, does not give anyone a right to discriminate with state dollars. There is no right to discriminate using our state dollars in the First Amendment. You have a right to run a church. You have a right to your own religion. You have a right to freedom of speech. You do not have the right to discriminate against other people based on that using my tax dollars.
These faith-based organizations are not funded by tax dollars. They get paid if they do a service, but the churches themselves are not funded by tax dollars.
No, the adoption services are. The actual adoptions are funded by tax dollars.
We disagree on this one.
Well, we can disagree all we want, but there's a reality here, and that they're receiving tax dollars to do adoptions, and then you're allowing them to actually discriminate. That's the truth.
The reality is we have 13,000 children in this state that need to be adopted, and no one has any problem adopting. No one has any problem adopting.
And you just made it harder.
We have to leave it there. We want to thank our guest, Senator Rick Jones of Grand Ledge, Senator Curtis Hertel, Jr. of Meridian Township. We'll keep an eye on the road funding discussion and have you weigh in on that soon as the summer continues. Thank you very much for joining us.